be here today. I get really excited when I get a chance. Well, I get a little nervous when I get a chance to talk about God. I can talk about a lot of other things, but when you get a chance to say anything about God, you want to make sure that it's what He wants you to say. So that's what I've been praying. I have written things, and I will depart from them, I have no doubt. Thank you for taking care of the first page for me. I love it. God is so good. And when I became a believer, I mean, I was a church member. I was a Baptist church member for 6 years before God really began to say, don't you think it's about time you get honest? I wasn't a believer. I wasn't a follower. And through a series of processes, God got me to the point where I just said, God, if you're really real, I had my doubts, if you're really real, please forgive me and be my God. My life really changed. I'm going to tell you the truth. My basic setting is a coward and a couch potato. I'm being very serious about that. A lot of people say, well, but it's true. That's just who I am naturally. But God has a spirit, and He changes things. And He has been working on me for a number of years. And He's put me in some weird places to do that. The 2 years in Vietnam, that was 72 through 74. Hey, God, there's a war going on. Had you noticed that? Well, God did. But He had things for me to learn. And He had things for me to share with a bunch of young people. I will say this. When God tells you that He wants you to go overseas, it's okay. If He doesn't tell you to go, please don't. But the International Mission Board will always be very special to me because they were willing to send me. And I kind of backed through a few things, but they got me to Vietnam. I learned survival Vietnamese, and my prayer life improved like you would not believe. Oh. But the thing that really got to me, when you go out of your culture and you get plopped down in a Buddhist nation, the spiritual darkness, the spiritual famine is very, very obvious. And I hate to tell you, when I came back to the United States this last time and settled in, these past 12 years, I've been saying, we're catching up with the third world. We're catching up with the third world. Because the spiritual famine that I became aware of overseas, I'm now aware of it here in my own country. And God's mission for me has changed. I'll just say briefly, I am still working. I'm now employed with Harford County Health Department. I am a certified tobacco treatment specialist, and I've spent the last 10 years meeting in small groups of people, most of whom don't darken the doors of a church, but God gives lovely conversations. My employer changed, but my assignment didn't. Okay? So, well, and God gives the opportunity. I don't have to try to maneuver people into conversations. God takes care of that. Okay, enough. International Mission Board. When they sent me out, they were still the Foreign Mission Board. Name has changed. When they sent me out, we were talking about going to countries. Over the years, besides the name change, we began to talk about people groups, people of cultural similarity, language similarities. And now we're talking about affinities. Affinities? Well, what do you like? People who are more similar, and you can train someone to become a culturally friendly outsider to go and live among a people and then just see what God's going to do with it. The International Mission Board is very gracious. It allowed, I think there were about 1,000 of us who gathered last September. We had a reunion. And I got to see missionaries from, I'm telling you, they were 10 miles beyond the Great Commission when I met them. People from Bangladesh, people from Vietnam. First missionary I ever met was a man named Sam James. When we got together last September, Sam had just come back from Vietnam two nights before. God has used that man in ways that I can't begin to tell you. But in heaven, if you get a chance to get up close and see his videos and DVDs, you check it out, because God is doing a great thing still in Vietnam. Vietnam, first country God sent me to through Southern Baptist. I realize you weren't a church at that time. You weren't perhaps meeting here. But if you've done anything, if you ever give to Lottie Moon, thank you. You took good care of a whole lot of us. Plopping down into Vietnam, I had to learn Vietnamese, because most of the people around me on a daily basis spoke little to no English. I was always called sir. Well, there were a lot of military around, very few foreign women, so I was always sir. I had to smile. And my task there was to teach English as a second language and run a little library. English as a second language. Well, not being as culturally knowledgeable as I could have been, I decided that the neat thing to do was, after 45 minutes of the book they needed to memorize and be able to talk about and get through in their classes, or they were going to be failed and go off to war. It was schooling had a really interesting little tweak there. If you didn't make it past a certain grade for the guys, off to the war. I thought, well, if I just put in simple English Bible studies, and I will give them, because, you know, we don't want to force anybody, I'll give them the opportunity to get up and leave, and then we'll do the Bible study part. I was so impressed that they wanted to stay for the Bible studies. Actually, in their culture, it would have been really rude for them to get up and leave me. So they had to stay. And you think, what does that have to do in terms of the kingdom? And a lot of times I didn't know. There were young people who did come to the Lord, and there were young people who got involved with the church. And in 2 years, I was gone. About 20 years later, I got a letter from one of those little students, had been one of my little English students in Quy Nhon, South Vietnam. He had lost his country. Okay, in 1975, April 30, Vietnam was either destroyed, it either fell, or it was liberated. It depends on which side of the border you were living on. And you sometimes wonder, what's 2 years got to do with life? But that was God's preparation for me. I spent another, I guess, 12 years working in Vietnamese refugee camps. I managed to hit Thailand, Hong Kong, and I got into the Philippines. The Philippines was the prize. It's beautiful there. And the response to the Vietnamese was so much nicer there than it was in the other countries. We won't go into all that. But this young man had grown up, and he wrote me a letter, because while he was in the refugee camps, he had become a Christian. Why is it that when there's so much disaster and horrible things happening, when God's people respond and go to give help, which God wants us to do, there are lives that are changed through just some of the most broken, horrifying stories you could ever imagine? There is new life. And people do become believers, and they begin to function. That young man wrote me a letter. He had been through the refugee camps. He had been through the meal. He became a believer. When he resettled in the United States, his faith continued to grow, and he was a leader of young people in his church. I only heard from him one time ever. And I got that letter when I was kind of in a rough spot, and it was a very, well, it was such a blessing to know that God had used me. And in the letter, he said, "You were the first person to tell me about Jesus." I like that. I like that. I'm not saying anything that I have written down here, but never mind. The point is, God uses programs. He uses wars. He uses horrible things. But when his people are faithful, he uses them, and he does give people an opportunity to find out what life is really about. You know, I became a believer after being a church member for a while, and I really do like the scripture that's very familiar to you. The whole thing in Ephesians chapter 2. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man, no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." My family, the only time I've ever seen my mom and dad cry and yell at me, I was such a good child, was when I told them that I was going to Vietnam. It distressed them more than you can believe. But you know what? By the time I got there, they were then defending me to their friends who saying, "What is she, crazy?" But what I was forgiven by God. And I was transformed. I was still a coward, still couch potato. But that we can trust God. If he puts us in a situation, we're there for a purpose, and he will use it for his glory and possibly for eternal good for someone else. I really like that part. Well, so I spent 2 years in preparation by living in Vietnam and seeing what life there was like. And then I spent 12 years in refugee camps. I was geographically in places like Hong Kong and Thailand and the Philippines, but culturally I was very, very much more involved with the Vietnamese culture. And yes, I continued to speak Vietnamese, and I will tell you this, God does have a sense of humor. I was in this little church, a little tiny church in a refugee camp, and we were having a guest speaker, a Filipino pastor, and he was going to speak in English, which was his second language, and nobody in the congregation would get up and translate. It wasn't a large congregation, but there were young men in that congregation who had pretty good English. They'd been refugees for several years, and their English was really good, because they had trouble understanding what he was saying. So they designated me as the translator. And I did my best. And he picked a story that I knew well, and I thought I could do pretty well. And the pastor had spent this time dramatically describing this group of sick men and how sick they were, and they were such outcasts. And when he pronounced in English their affliction, I, in Vietnamese, said very clearly, "They were afflicted with peanut butter." I knew I'd said something wrong, because the guys who knew the English were just, their cheeks got real full. Anyway, we got most of the rest of that message out, and the Vietnamese guys got it straightened out eventually, but I was not the best in language, I'll just say that. But God has given me a part of who I am, a part of what I am in the test for different jobs. I have empathy. And I can almost feel what they were going through. And God gave me some dramatic demonstrations of his power. I remember one Easter service. I was sleeping in the church at that little camp. Now, I lived in a little pension outside the refugee camp because it was very barren and not very large, but a couple of thousand people tucked into a very small space. And there was one woman, her husband was a church leader. They had become believers there in the refugee camp, and they were doing their best to lead things. She became pregnant. The doctors had warned her never to have another child, but she became pregnant. And the night before Easter, we had had our a time of worship, and I was sleeping in the camp so I could be there for the sunrise service. And I thought, oh, it can't be early yet, but it can't be time to get up. But it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. There was a little commotion. This woman was in labor, and it was not going well. And I don't remember if we transported her in my truck or if I just followed the vehicle that carried her to the hospital. The provincial hospital in Puerto Princesa, Palawan, is where we were at the time. And it was an old building that had been configured as well as they could to be a hospital. The woman was fighting. They were trying to give her anesthesia, put her to sleep so they could take the baby. And so she wouldn't calm down. So they came out and got me. And I went in there, ungowned, un-anything, just to try to talk with her until they could get her settled and asleep. And nobody expected either her or the baby to survive. I mean, it was just hanging there. So instead of sleeping in the refugee camp, that little hospital had a little prayer room. And I went in that little chapel and prayed the rest of the night because, I mean, what do you say to somebody who's about to lose? He's already lost his homeland, already lost so much, and now going to lose the wife and child. And you know what God did? God allowed that woman to live and to have a healthy baby. And for me, you know, God used that to just deepen my appreciation for God's love and his mercy and what Easter was all about. There are a lot of stories like that. We don't have the time. But God is at work in the worst kinds of situations. Okay? And through people like you, people who God has called, people who have responded and who are believers, you might not all go running over to Vietnam or to some other places, but, you know, God gives you a burden. You do what God wants you to do. Sometimes that's giving. Sometimes, listen, you cannot pray enough for missionaries. 1 week is real nice, thank you. But multiply that by about 52. And if you're ever not sure what to pray about for missionaries, key point, pray for their spiritual protection. Pray that God would guard their minds, their relationship with him. Because you probably know this. If you are a believer and you're obeying what God wants you to do, you walk around with a little target. Satan would love to destroy a testimony, especially a testimony of somebody who's standing up and preaching, who's leading music. Satan loves to destroy those things. And he did destroy some testimonies that I saw. But I saw God work. There were not just hundreds, there were several thousands of Indochinese refugees who lost their homeland, but they gained glory. They gained heaven. And they're scattered all around the world now, resettled in a number of countries. And some of them are our international missionaries in some wild, crazy places. They came out as refugees. They were kids. And I got to see some of these at the reunion in September, too. But they're going back to countries because they love God so much and they know the lostness. They're willing to go. I love it. Well, let's move on. Somebody keeps a watch around here. Oops, better be me. You can get comfortable where you are. And I didn't like all that I saw happening to the refugees. And for a time, I thought, there's no worse life than living as a refugee. But then God changed my direction. I'm a learner. He wanted me to learn more. I came back to the United States, and God gave me opportunity. He gave me the money. He gave me acceptance into Johns Hopkins University. I got a master's in public health. My whole intent was, I thought I would be going back to Vietnam. I was fighting and clawing to go back into Vietnam. And the International Mission Board people who made those kinds of decisions, I just about crawled across their desk a couple of times, and finally they said, well, we have a place in Pakistan. Hold it. Do they speak Vietnamese there? Are they Buddhist? What are you talking to me about Pakistan about? I went off to Hopkins, got halfway through my year, and realized part of my studies, I wanted to really focus on the culture where I would be. So I called. I was expecting there to be a job description for a little working farm down in southern Philippines in Mindanao. And it wasn't there. I thought, okay, God, here I am, getting all educated up, and where am I going? There was a job description they did tell me about. Again, it was Karachi, Pakistan. It was for a couple. I'm not a couple, never have been. It was for a nurse. Not me. If somebody throws up, I'll join them. If there's an emergency, you don't want me around. I'm a preventer. But God, in his wonderful sense of humor and his keen insight to what Linda Pegram needs to grow in her faith, he sent me to Pakistan. But I, first of all, they rejected my visa. So I traveled from the U.S., and God sent me to Bangladesh for 3 months. What have you heard about Bangladesh recently? Have you heard that it has one of the lowest life expectancies? Have you heard that there's a lot of diarrhea over there? Actually, when I landed in Bangladesh, I had just come out of Hopkins. God did that part. There's this thing called the International Center for Diarrheal Disease Control. I always had trouble with that. And it was a Hopkins program. So I marched up to them after I got in Dhaka and thought, oh, my gosh, God, you really moved. If you ever made one, this is it. But God allowed me to be a volunteer with that Hopkins program. I was out in some of the worst-looking slums I've ever seen in my life. Women's literacy and Some of the countries describe literacy as being able to write a name. There were women who had never even held a pencil. And Hopkins' project was to train groups of women like this and give them simple teachings. One of the major killers in much of the third world is dehydration from diarrheal disease. So, I mean, I got to see the best in action, and I got a retraining, a practical feet on the ground. Some people think taking a boat down the Ganges sounds really lovely. One of the scariest things I ever did, moonlight night, beautiful, high flood time, and these great old big ferries they're not easy to control. We almost ran into another one. It was very sobering, to say the least. My prayer life increased again. It did that a lot when I was traveling. Okay, but in all of this, God kept reminding me of who he wanted me to be. And he began to make it very clear. You know it well. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness and to his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And God tells the people of God what they're supposed to be doing. Let me just make sure we're on the same page with that. You know, God tells his followers, as Matthew says, he reminds us, all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to very end of the age, and I'd say very end of the earth too. I have got to stop chattering. God is so good. I could talk about programs. I could talk about money. But God is what we need to be talking about, and the relationship. And then we need, out of gratitude for what he's already done, to just follow him, do what he wants us to do. I loved the worship, the music. Thank you for having me. And one of these days, I probably should write more down. Little gift. You can come on up and do whatever you need to do. When I was in Vietnam, I loved the artwork. And as I got in and out of there, I just have some cards I'd just love for you to have. Pray for the nations.
Oh, come here. Thank you. And aren't you glad as Southern Baptists we can support people like this and see what they're doing to change lives with Christ? And it's, you know, I was wondering, who am I going to get for International Week of Prayer? And we went to our annual convention. Daphne and I went over to the WMU part. And Dottie comes down the hall, and this young lady was with her, and he said, I want to introduce you to, she called you Joe.
I sent you an email with Joe.
Yes, you
did.
I
confused you.
And I found out she's a retired missionary. And I said, are you available either December 3rd or 10th? And she said, yes. Praise the Lord for how he brings people into your presence. And thank you so much.
God moments.
Thank you.
I am blessed by being here.
Thank you.
Can I offer you a treat?
I got one. I've started having coughing spells, so my wife took care of me. We'll have...